Good evening. It's certainly good to see so many here this evening. Brother Marty sent me a text message this afternoon and said he was not feeling well. And so we certainly want to continue to remember all of those that are not well. Include him in your prayers as we go to God in prayer about those that are sick. Hope that he gets to feeling better soon. If you are visiting with us, we're very glad for your presence and glad that you are here. And certainly want you to feel welcome and give us an opportunity to get to know you. We do have some visitors, and we're very glad for your presence. Please feel welcome to come back at any time that you've got an opportunity. Over the last couple of weeks, we have talked about in sermon, Brother Marty has brought to us sermons on repentance, as we spoke about this morning, things that we need to do, things that we need to recognize in our lives, that we need to change, and that we have to make changes in our life, and that is what repentance calls on us to do. That's what God's grace calls on us to do, to change our lives so that we would be right in His sight. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about baptism, and we spoke there about the things that God would require of us to show our belief and our trust and our obedience in Him, that we need to be baptized into Christ and to live a life until death, faithful to Him and to His will, those things that we find in the New Testament that we should do. These are some of the things that we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Certainly, it brings to mind a passage that I know most would be familiar with in Acts chapter 2, where Peter has talked to them about all of the things that history should have been telling them, and yet they didn't recognize, and he brings to light the fact that they have put to death the Messiah. Some of the Jews in that audience were struck. It says that they were pierced to the heart. And it generated a question in them that, what must we do now? And the things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks really are the answer that Peter gave to them: repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We talk about those things often. We're reminded of them often, as we should be. And we talk about the concept of being in Christ. And I want us to think for a few moments this evening, a very few moments, about the idea of being in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is talking about that same subject, where he tells them, don't you know that you were baptized into his death, that you were baptized into Christ Jesus? What does it mean to each of us to be in Christ Jesus? To hold that name, the name of Christ, to be part of his family, to be his brother, to be a Christian, to be in Christ. Jesus describes himself many ways. As you read through the Gospels and you look at the things that he has to say, you find that he said he was the door. He was a door, a access to God, that through him we could reach God. On Wednesday night, Brother Willis talked to us about the fact that Jesus took away the veil that stood between the holy and the most holy place, the veil that divided regular priest from the place where God dwelt. And that when the crucifixion happened, the veil was torn and taken away. The writer of Hebrews describes that now we have a high priest through which we can approach God directly, that the veil is gone. He is the access. He is the door. Brother Ben read for us in John chapter 14 the fact that he calls himself the way. Thomas asked him, how do we know where you are going and how do we know the way? He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is that pathway for us to find salvation. the way for us to reach heaven, the way for us to find our way to the presence of God, that we can enjoy all of eternity at the throne of God, to sing praises to Him and to worship Him throughout eternity. He is the way. And yet that pathway He also describes as being narrow, that it is a straight path, a straight gate, and that it is a strict and demanding way, that there are requirements of us as we are in Christ, as we have taken on that name, that we have a responsibility if we're going to continue in that way, that it is difficult to find. And that it lays a great responsibility on our shoulders to be in Christ. That there is a cost involved. That there is a great cost that we have to consider. Is it something that we feel is worth a life dedicated to Christ? To be in Christ. And yet, by comparison, the weight of eternal destruction is far greater than that weight of responsibility. Jesus says that my yoke is easy, that my burden is light. In comparison to the idea of being lost eternally, separated from God, not being in Christ, not having the opportunity to worship at His throne and to sing praises, to not have that weight of eternal damnation, of destruction, of separation from God, is far greater than the yoke, the easy yoke, and the light burden that is required of us to be in Christ. So I ask you tonight, are you in Christ Jesus? You know, life is short. I know from experience how quickly life can evaporate. How close we all are to leaving this world, to being on the other side. When I was 6 or 7 years old, my grandfather Brown passed away. He was 72 years old. And really, that's not very old. I didn't know him very well, but I remember him well enough to know that that was my grandfather. In the 80s, my grandmother Brown, after struggling with dementia and all sorts of ailments, she passed away. She was in her 80s. At the age of 83, at the age of 83, my grandfather Mahaffey, my mom's father, passed away. When I spoke at his funeral, I was struck by the different kinds of people that he had touched throughout his life that were in the audience at his funeral. And I know he was a Christian all of my life, but not all of his life. And he was always striving, so far as I could see and observe, to do more, to be better. And one of the last things he said before he passed away, tell everybody they need to love Christ. And at the age of 83, he passed away. At the age of 93, my grandmother, Mahaffey, passed away. And again, she had been a Christian all of my life, and as far as I know, all of her adult life. And yet, even at those advanced ages, none of them would have said, I've been here a long time. They would have recognized in earthly years, yes, but not in comparison to history, and not with what they were looking forward to in heaven. It was only a short time. James describes life as vapor. We're here for a moment, and poof, it's gone. And I know that because I woke up from surgeries that they didn't expect me to wake up from, that most everybody thought he wouldn't wake up from. And I praise God for that. But I recognize this life is short. And so we need to consider the question, are we in Christ? We cannot be deceived, brethren, that just because we call ourselves Christians, that just because we gather here and call this building our place of worship, just because we come here and just because we join ourselves together with these people, just because we do that does not make us in Christ. It takes a heart that has been dedicated to Him. Jesus, throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, talked about how you have heard it was one way, but I'm asking for your heart. I'm asking for you to give me everything. Don't give me a checklist of the law. Don't give me what you think is okay. Give me your heart. Give me all of you. And that's what He requires of us. That's who we are. That's what we signed up for. This is a difficult task. It is a costly task, but it is so much better than what it would be without Christ. It is so much more fulfilling than thinking about an eternal separation from God. You know, Paul talked about the same problem that the Galatians were having. And he addressed the idea, he was talking to them specifically about returning to the law. But he says, you know, we cannot deceive ourselves into thinking that we are right when we teach against the thoughts of once saved, always saved, and yet we act that way. Let me give you some examples, because I know that you'll recognize all of us from time to time are guilty of this, and the things that we say or the things that we do or the way that we dress and the things that we, instead of being conformed or transformed out of this world, we are conformed to the ways of the world that is around us. And we deceive ourselves when we think, well, I'm a Christian and I'm going to be saved because of that. No. God is looking for our hearts, wholeheartedly, completely, dedicated, and surrendered to Him. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 5, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under the obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come to you from Christ who called you. Now again, he's talking to them about returning into the law and going back and keeping circumcision. But the idea is that I want us to see is that just because we call ourselves Christians, and if we are not wholeheartedly living that way, then we can be guilty of the same kinds of things. Thinking that we're okay without being okay. So I encourage you, men, be men. Stand up. Recognize opportunities to talk to people about Christ. To talk to them about the things that will set them apart, that will save them. Be fathers. Be examples to the young people in your family and in your household that you are responsible for, that you are a godly person, a godly man, reading the Scriptures and teaching the Scriptures every day. Mothers, be firm, be unbending, non-compromising when it comes to truth. When it comes to worshiping God, set a standard in your house that it cannot be mistaken. Teachers, be examples. We talked this morning about sports figures who are disgraceful, who do not abide in the things that they should. We talked about politicians who set themselves up as representative of the people. Let us not deceive ourselves that just because we call ourselves Christians, let us live that life. Let us be in Christ. Let us set an example before the world that cannot be denied. It's going to be harsh. People are going to reject you. People are going to say you're a fanatic, Bible beater. People are going to persecute you. Count it a blessing. Count it a blessing. Because when death comes, all that really matters is whether or not you are in Christ. All that will really matter is if Christ will claim you. It may be that you know what you need to do to be in Christ. And simply haven't done it. Do that tonight. We talked about repentance this morning. Change your life if it's not in keeping with being in Christ. Because being in Christ is a joyful thing, is a blessed thing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I want to look at some passages or some verses there. That tell us about being in Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, Paul has spent this entire letter that he sent to them talking to them about being in Christ, about the responsibility they have to be Christians. He talked to them about the Gentiles and how they had rejected God when they had all in nature to prove that God existed and they should have been following Him. He talked to the Jews about the same kinds of things, only they had the law. They had the revelation of God, and yet they still spurned it. And their responsibility also was to be in Christ. And then he talked in chapter 5 and in chapter 6 about being baptized into Christ. This one figure who was crucified and resurrected for their salvation. That they needed to be baptized into His death into Christ Jesus. And then when he gets to chapter 8, he's talking about the blessings of it. Listen in verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Verse 35, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Listen to this list and recognize that these are the things that happen in this life. These are the things that some people will let separate them from Christ. But Paul says it shouldn't be so. It doesn't have to be so. If you've given your heart to Christ, will tribulation separate you? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Nothing can separate you if you truly belong. If you've given your heart to Him, if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, you cannot be separated by these worldly things. "Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all the day long. We were considered as sheep to the slaughter, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything that's been created will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing. We can take joy in that so long as we live our lives the way that He would have us to. So long as we are faithful even unto death, even if it means death. So long as we have put Him first. So long as we are living that example in front of everybody who will possibly see us. Does that describe us? Is that the kind of joy that we have? Is that the kind of blessing that we know we can enjoy? I so look forward to singing praises to God Almighty at His throne. I can't even imagine, though I try, what that will be like. And to know that there is nothing in this world, nothing created, Paul said, save my own disobedience, that can separate me from the love of God. If that's not something that you have in store for you now, make sure that you change that, even tonight. Make sure that you are in Christ Jesus so that you can rest assured that nothing will ever separate you from His love. If you're subject to the invitation, we would offer that to you now, as Christ extends His hand to you and says, "Come and be in Christ Jesus so that you can see God when this life is over." While together we stand and sing.